Okay, this is another hard one. If I go to the county fair and photograph it like a day in the life of the fair and take images and put them in a PowerPoint presentation to show at local senior citizen centers, which I am paid for my presentation, do I need releases from all the people on the rides and crowd shots? This is a hard one, and I think there's a legal answer and a practical answer.
You know
answer.
What? Let's do it this way. I'm going to give you the strict legal answer first, and then Jack is going to give you a likely more practical answer.
So you think.
Right. Well, yeah. Theoretically, if you are being compensated and paid to put on these presentations, theoretically it is possible that someone in one of those images could bring a lawsuit in some states against you. If that person came into my office and they wanted to bring that lawsuit, I would say, what's the problem with the photograph? And if he told me, it shows me with my girlfriend, and if my wife sees this, I have a problem, or I'm on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. And by the way, in the book, there's 10 or 12 actual examples like that in wedding photos, okay? Then he or she might have a case. But just to walk in and say, I was at the carnival, I was on the ride, there's a picture of me, do I have a case? The answer is yes. Would I, Ed Greenberg, take that case? No, because he's lucky if he'd get a dollar.
Yeah, and that's the practical thing about it is I would go ahead and do it. I wouldn't have a problem, but I would be very careful not to take any pictures that humiliate or insult people. Like, I'm not going to take someone who's very overweight eating a deep fried Twinkie or something to make a comment about that, about the people that go to the fair or something. If it's just average people doing normal things all around there, and you look at it and saying, would I be insulted if that was me in that picture? I would go ahead and use it. And if anybody comes to you for any reason and complains about it, I would apologize and take the picture down. Because it's not worth the hassle. Some photographers want to stand on a soapbox and saying, well, I'm well within my rights, and this, and you're really not. So practical, nobody's really going to sue you over that because there isn't a lot to collect, but I would be careful.
I'm assuming you put in county fair, so I'm assuming that everything is all American and squeaky clean. If you took a photograph of a person entering a strip club, okay, or a group of people entering a strip club, my answer would be don't use it, because there may be businessmen who don't want it to be published that they were entering into a strip club. And my advice to you would be don't use it. Whether you win or not in court, you're going to wind up paying a lawyer a lot of money.
Hey, this one. Isaac was filmed in a reality show while he was photographing a wedding. They wanted me to sign a model release that was asking for rights to my image, so I didn't sign it. They asked me to scratch off parts that I didn't agree with, which is what we tell people to do, too, when they have a problem with the release. You scratch it off and initial it. And I said I would sign it later. I never signed it. They ended up using two general takes in which you can see me among the wedding party.
So when
do I have a case?
So it's not that – I'm confused now. It's not his photos. It's of him at the wedding?
Right. He was a subject.
I wouldn't bother.
Yeah, unless they were highlighting you and you were technically yes, you can sue because they don't have a release of you. Would you sue unless you're predominantly displayed and it's like you've become a centerpiece of something? If you're just in the crowd on that, it's going to be one of those cases where yeah, you could sue them. The judge is going to look at you and saying, "How were you damaged?" And okay, you didn't get a release, so they owe you a dollar.
Okay.
Now pay your lawyer. His fish.
We have a very large section on wedding photographers, and you would also be subjecting yourself to something that's called the Streisand effect, as in Barbara Streisand, which is bringing negative attention to you in a business where your reputation is everything. Barbara Streisand has on several occasions brought attention to herself over things that nobody paid attention to her and made her look foolish. In one example, a judge chided her and fined her. And do Google the Streisand effect. It relates to a photograph of her house. It's too long to get into here, but do Google the Streisand effect.
Well, I can say real briefly what the Streisand effect was, that somebody was photographing from the air different houses along the coast in California, and she wanted to keep her house secret. She didn't want it published in this
scientific survey of beach erosion. Ms. Streisand likes to paint herself out as an environmentalist when, in fact, she runs her air conditioning 7 days a week at 65, and she did not want the scientists who shot the entire coastline of the state of California, and you wouldn't know it was her house. They didn't point it out.
That was the whole point.
But by suing a website which had received 700 hits from mostly scientists and students of science, got a couple hundred thousand hits, and then when she sued, and the judge wrote a scathing opinion and in effect fined her, it got over a million hits.
So she was trying to keep it under wraps, and by trying to keep it under wraps, she exposed it so everybody saw it.
If your fly is open, maybe one person has seen it. If you tell everybody your fly is open, well, you know.
Oops, sorry, Ed. This one, Walter, you're not correct in your question here. You say, when you say verbal agreement, don't you really mean oral agreement? A written agreement is verbal. that's splitting hairs quite a bit. Verbal and oral, we mean the same thing. If it's spoken, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Written is what you want, in writing on a piece of paper. So what's this one from Ken? I sold an image to a magazine for an article about my wife. A few months later, she received an email from a company not affiliated with the magazine offering to sell her a photo of the image. What are my rights to this?
You don't sell your images. You license your images. If you sold the image and assigned and transferred the copyright in writing to the magazine, you have no rights at all because you have given it away.
Yeah.
Now, you say 2 months later, as an email from a company wanting to use the image. Well, if you didn't, where's your paperwork with the magazine? If there's no paperwork at all, you should see a lawyer. You and your wife may have a case, and you need to see a local intellectual property lawyer. Most importantly, have you registered the image? You can't go to court until and unless you've registered the image. It is the key to the courthouse. Your wife may have a lawsuit for invasion of privacy or publicity rights. She doesn't have to register anything, but the statute of limitations, which is legalese for saying the amount of time you have to sue, is very limited on a state-by-state basis. So you should see a local lawyer familiar with such matters immediately, both of you.
And always, anytime you present a photo to a publication or a person or anything else, have paperwork. We know one photographer who's famous for litigating everything. Literally, he sends a picture to his mom in the mail, and attached with it in the back, he has rights,
yeah,
terms and conditions. Right. He puts terms and conditions on everything, and he has paperwork on everything.
I'm not ashamed. Neither am I ashamed to admit it or to disclose that the photographers who I represent, who range from big shots to nobodies and everything in between, those who register their work and litigate generally make far more money from litigating than they do from practicing photography.
Yeah, it's
not even close.
Keith just sends us a greeting from Chicago. Thank you, Keith. I appreciate that. Is there any limitation in obtaining a model release?
I don't know what that means.
I don't know what you mean by limitation.
I'm going to make a guess. You can't get a model release if this is where you're going. You could not obtain a model release from a parent permitting her 10-year-old child to be photographed by you in the nude. That release would have no effect at law, and the mother, depending on the state, would be guilty of child abuse, neglect, or some similar kind of charge. So no parent can give a release to permit you to do something which is illegal.
And there's a lot of issues with releases.
Let me just add one quick thing. If she's an adult, if they're dealing with an adult, then you're talking about a release that is akin to a contract signed by a male or female performer in a triple X film or in a movie which has graphic sexuality, where the actor says, I acknowledge that I will be seen nude, that I am being portrayed as a pedophile, a prostitute, whatever. An adult can give that consent and does every day. And the X-rated films and even first-run films where people are portrayed as a serial killer, those contracts contain that language so that the actor can't turn around and say, well, I didn't know you were going to portray me as a pedophile.
Also, just to expand a little bit on model releases, there is no time limit on model releases unless you put one in writing, which I've rarely seen. In a model release, a model can't unrelease the writing. There's been some famous cases in the past about that, but a model can't later say, oh, I signed the release, but it's been so many years, I can't do that anymore.
There can be a time period written into the model release. So, for example, you're doing a photograph of Cindy Crawford for a book you're doing on models, and the release that Cindy gives you says, you can only use this image in this book about models for the next 3 years. At the end of 3 years, you have to contact me to renew this model release because I'm only giving you a 3-year usage period. She could do that, and then it's up to you to agree to it or not.
Also, we talk about sensitive issue releases. If you're photographing somebody nude or semi-nude or in any type of situation, make sure that states that in the release. One of the other issues too, and I'm going to throw this over to you. When to get a release? Would you get it before you shoot the model or after you shoot?
I get it right away when the model walks in the door. The best time is to have her sign as soon as she's even before she goes into makeup, because that's when they're not thinking or paying attention, quite frankly. And if they have an agency who needs to look at the release, that's when let's say it's a female model and she's going into makeup or wardrobe, if the release has not already been signed, that's your opportunity to email it or fax it over to her agency to get it signed. If the agency is authorized to sign, get it signed right away. Two quickies: go to the blog and Google the word and search the word fax, because I'm very big on using fax machines. Believe it or not.
F-A-X, not right. F-A-C-T.
Right.
Fax machines.
Fax machines instead of emails, and you can read why. And we have an entire article on sensitive model releases, and they go not only to things that involve sex, but even whether someone appears to be or is portraying someone who's depressed, clinically depressed, and there's a whole buffet of matters where you should get a sensitive model release, and it's right there in the article. You could add whatever language you want. Some people would be offended if you portrayed them as being a slob, okay? But some things, search the Getty case that we have on our blog. If you search the word AIDS and Getty, you'll see a classic example of a model being portrayed as if she had AIDS when she didn't.
Here's something I think we're going to be getting, and Kat, if we didn't answer your model release question with all of that, feel free to be more specific on another question. This is something I think we're going to start getting a lot of, and it has to do with drones, which seems to be a big thing for photographers looking to expand their businesses these days. The first thing I would recommend, of course, is to be licensed so you don't run into any problems, but here's a question. If someone is doing landscape, this is from James. If someone is doing landscape photography from a drone and the image captures something from a neighboring house, does that homeowner have any privacy rights? Does the photographer have the right to publish the image and not be liable to a suit? Before we get completely into that, I do want to just point out the fact that you do have a right to take photos. It's a First Amendment right. Pretty much for a lot of things in this country, in the U.S., you can take whatever picture you want. The questions come in, how do you use that image? How that image is being used is where a lot of the legal questions come into place.
Two quick points on drones, because we can do an entire show on drones. First of all, it depends what the...
And we can drone on about
that. That's right. It depends what the image is of. If you have an image of, again, a five-year-old child swimming in her backyard swimming pool, topless, and you publish that picture, I can guarantee you in 8 states you will be criminally charged.
What if he only took a picture of a tree in this guy's property?
These are state-sensitive laws, okay? Every state has different laws. There are federal requirements. But here's the question that none of the faux web experts ever address with photographers, and I've dealt with this and warned people about this. If you carry liability insurance, you better make sure you're covered for drones. Because if your drone causes an automobile accident and causes someone to get hurt or killed, or goes through a window of someone's house causing a few $1,000s in property damage, you're probably not covered. So you are running an additional risk. If a drone hits someone and kills them, your insurance policy is probably not going to cover you. There are many instances of, and I saw the autopsy of a gentleman who was killed. I attended the autopsy, who was killed by a radio-controlled aircraft. You know, it was about 4 foot wide wingspan, and the controller wasn't too good at controlling it, and the plane went into a person's head and killed him. Your insurance policy will likely not cover you. Will that wipe you out? Maybe. You want to run the risk?
Something else, too, an issue I think you should always think about is knock on the neighbor's door and tell him what you're doing and see if he's okay with it. For the most part, I find that when you ask permission, people are more than willing to say yes, and face-to-face, they're very, very nice. If they're blindsided and all of a sudden they see a drone overhead, then it's an issue. And that goes with... if I took a picture of someone and I wanted to use it in a magazine or some other thing, if I didn't have a release, if I asked that person, that model, would it be okay to use it and could you sign a release so that I can use it in this magazine, they're usually thrilled.
Use the pad. Go to the pad. Using the pad.
Well yeah, I'll cover that in a second. It's when they're blindsided is when they have an issue. So this would be the same thing with the drones. If you're going to be over somebody else's property or something, or in that area, it wouldn't take you long to just knock on their door, tell them what they're doing, and if you can see they're a bit crazy and they have a collection of guns and might shoot your drone out of the sky if it goes over their property, which is illegal, but then...
In some states, well, hold on. In some states, in other states, you can shoot a drone down, and quite frankly, if I were living in a state where I could shoot a drone down, I would.
I've seen your aim. I wouldn't worry too much. But it's, again, it's the type of thing where, as photographers, a lot of times I talk about it's easier to ask forgiveness than permission. In this case, it would be the opposite. It's much easier to ask permission rather than run into all the problems later on. One of the other things that we're doing, and we're just about out of time, that we talk about with releases is if you're on the street, we recommend getting releases all the time. And a little trick we talk about is if you're finding people, let's say you're doing something over their house, or you find a person and you want them to sign a release, your next door neighbor, or you shoot somebody on the street and you want to use it for commercial uses, and you know you can make a lot more money that way, so you present them with a release rather than a
single piece of paper.
Or a single piece of paper. What we recommend is get a pad of releases, and it's important that it's a pad, not just by itself, and make sure that you can make copies with it. So it's
well, carbonized
or no carbon required, anything so that there's two copies, because you want to give them a copy. But the other thing is, when you have a pad of them, get the first 5, 6, 7 signed, even if you're signing them, friends signing them, and number them, so that instead of just handing them something out of the blue, they're getting a pad where they see other people have already signed off on it. They're more likely to sign the release rather than being, the pioneer in this. They don't want to be the first one. But there's a herd mentality. They're more likely to sign a release when they see others have done so. So you have a pad of releases, others have been signed that they can see, flip through, and it makes life a lot easier.
People will tend to follow the crowd.
With that, I see the clock on the wall here is saying we have 1 minute left before we end this. We've had some great questions from you guys. If we didn't get to your questions or you have more questions, feel free to go over to our blog, thecopyrightzone.com, and ask us there. And definitely look at the articles we have. We have a lot of good articles going back several years on a lot of different issues. There's not much in it for us, believe it or not, because royalties amount to about a cup of coffee, but we do recommend taking a look at our book, The Copyright Zone. It has a lot of things beyond copyright, such as model releases, contracts, invoices. There's a chapter for wedding photographers, and I think you'll find it quite useful. You can go to Amazon and read the reviews on what other people have said about it. I think that'll be very telling. With that, do you have any final words, Ed?
Register
closing summaries.
Register everything all the time, always, without exception, whether you think it's important or whether you think it's valuable, because the images that generally turn out to be the best images for copyright cases are the most mundane, ordinary, vanilla, generic lifestyle photographs. Those are the cases that generally make more money than cases which involve rappers and famous models and movie stars.
So if you go to our site, you'll see us in blue face because we talk about registering until we're blue in the face. We want to thank X-Rite for giving us the opportunity.
This is X-rated?
It is for you.
Oh, sometimes. I would have used different material.
It's X-Rite.
Oh.
Instead of X-Wrong. Thanks, X-Rite, for allowing us a platform for this, and thank you all for your questions. See you in the funny papers.